Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We know that the war that Israel has been fighting has been on many different fronts. You've got the physical fronts, certainly of Gaza, of Lebanon, Yemen, Syria. It's certainly been one where Israel is physically defending itself on all from all sides and many, many different sides. We've often said that social media is another war front. I'm not sure that the Israeli government reacted as quickly to that, and so is lawfare. Lawfare as well, South Africans well versed in being manipulated and being used for that purpose. It's happening pretty much everywhere. We see that at university campuses as well, and more information is starting to come out now about just how important that role is. Hamas's strategy to destroy Israel from theory into practice. We wanted to understand a little bit more about this. Professor Kobe Michael is a senior researcher, editor-in-chief of strategic assessment at the INSS and Misgav Institute. Professor Kobe Michael, thank you for joining us. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. We are trying our best.
That's all anybody can do at the moment, right? Is just try everyone's best. So tell us about the research that has been done into the strategies that Hamas has used.
Actually, is not the research. These are documents that were captured during the war in the Gaza Strip. Documents that were written by Hamas and reflect Hamas' strategy and Hamas' intentions with regard to the last war or the current war. In these documents, we find first of all. Sort of clarification of the strategy itself, and secondly, we find many evidence regarding the relations and the very deep cooperation between Hamas and Iran, Hamas and Hezbollah. Actually, Hamas was and still a component of a broader axis or camp, which is the resistance axis led by Iran, and the strategy of Hamas correspondent with the broader strategy of Iran. And the basic idea was to ignite the arenas around Israel in the first circle. This was the responsibility of Hamas, where the Gaza Strip was the main center of gravity of Hamas, and Hamas worked pretty hard in order to prepare and to establish and even to fortify the other fronts, which are East Jerusalem, the West Bank, South Lebanon, together with Hezbollah, and the Arab citizens of Israel, the domestic arena inside the state of Israel. And the idea was to open the war from the Gaza Strip as the major military center of gravity of Hamas, then this war, this campaign, will ignite immediately all the other fronts that Hamas prepared in advance, and then Iran will join to the war by operating its ring of fire, which means all the arenas which are in the second circle around Israel, which means Lebanon by Hezbollah, South Syria, the Shiite militias there that are led by Iran, West Iraq with the Shiite militias, the Houthis, and Iran itself. And the idea was that this campaign or this attack will create the shock and awe effect, and will actually surprise Israel and will drag Israel to a very dangerous attrition war that will be the beginning of the collapse of the so-called Zionist project. This was the strategy, and
so why
all the documents that
right. Why didn't
the
it happen?
That were,
what? Because when on October the 7th, Israel was in complete shock and disarray. There's no doubt that had all of this ring that you've referred to, had they acted as you've described, it would have put Israel in a very much more vulnerable position.
Yes, you are right. And in this regard, Israel was very lucky, because what Hamas did is to surprise Iran and the entire axis. They were very well coordinated, and the idea was that Iran will give the green line with regard to the opening of the war. But Hamas, that was afraid that things will be leaked out, because they know that Israel has a very good intelligence control over Iran and mainly Hezbollah.
Right.
They decided, Yahya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas, decided to surprise the Iranians and the entire axis, not to coordinate that in advance with them, but he was sure that they will join him.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't join him, at least not in the scale that he anticipated. And Hezbollah joined the war only a day after, on October 8th, because they lost the surprise advantage. Because what Israel did on October 7th is to build its capacities in the south and to fight against Hamas and the invasion of Hamas to the sovereign territory of Israel in the south, but simultaneously, in the very same time, to fortify the northern border vis-a-vis Hezbollah.
Mm.
And then Hezbollah lost the surprise advantage, and it couldn't surprise Israel with their Ramadan forces, their commando forces that prepared themselves in advance. But the idea was based on the surprise, and they couldn't surprise in Israel anymore, and they decided not to invade to Israel, but to join Hamas by launching rockets and missiles towards Israel. And eventually, the other proxies of Iran, be it the Shiite militias in South Syria, West Iraq, and the Houthis, joined the war later, and they also launched rockets and did their part in the general effort. And later on April 24, and then in October 24, Iran launched rockets directly from its soil to Israel, and Israel retaliated and attacked Iran.
What about the West Bank or Judea and Samaria, the Israeli Arabs? Why did that not happen to the extent that was envisaged?
First of all, in the West Bank, Israel was in a terror war or a terror campaign since March 22.
Right.
So the West Bank, I would say, was flooded with IDF forces.
Anyway,
very alerted IDF forces. Secondly, the Israeli control over the West Bank is much more, I would say, strict and effective than the Israeli control over the Gaza Strip. We have to remember that Israel was not there inside the Gaza Strip. There are no Israeli Jewish settlements. There is no IDF inside the Gaza Strip. But on the contrary, in the West Bank, first of all, we have 500,000 Israeli settlers. Secondly, the IDF is there on the ground, and we have a very good intelligence control, and we have a very heavy IDF presence there, so we could react very effectively and very rapidly. So basically, the Hamas infrastructures in the West Bank are much weaker than the Hamas infrastructures in the Gaza Strip. So this was one of the major reasons that they didn't succeed in igniting the West Bank in the level that they expected.
Right. Professor Kobi Michael. That's where I do need to leave it. He's a senior researcher, editor-in-chief at Strategic Assessments at the INSS and MISGOV Institute.